Lucky episode number 13 of Rose and Dagger Podcast. Today I'm going to speak to Nick Wasco and Chris Hold from Palace Tattoo in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Been out that way before. Absolutely stunning place. Lovely people. And definitely going to have to make my way out there because I've heard so many good things about this place and these gentlemen. So I hope you enjoy our conversation today. This thing going here. Brown Boys, well, I just want to thank you for taking some of your precious time. I know even though we're in kind of still quarantined, everybody's got things going on. So I really appreciate it first off. So thank you very much.
Yeah, our pleasure. I mean, my pleasure, speaking for both of us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you very much for thinking of us and inviting us to do this. It's exciting.
Oh, right on, man. How have you folks been handling the quarantine, being away from, I mean, I know you guys are with people all the time in the tattoo world. How have you guys been kind of holding up during all this?
Well, for me, I mean, I have a wife and two kids, so I got my hands full at home every day, all day. So I've been really preoccupied and, you know, had a lot going on. So I've been doing okay, really, as far as, you know, focus and moving forward.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's good to hear. That's better than how about yourself, Chris? You've been staying pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm in a similar situation as Nick. I have an almost 4-year-old son who I've been spending a lot of time with, and my brother and sister-in-law live in our house with us, so there hasn't been a lack of interaction, but definitely I miss my conversations with my clients and Nick and Cody and Cole at the shop, because essentially, you know, my family life is my first priority, but my social life and my creative life is at the shop, and I miss those guys so much, just spending all day hanging out and talking tattoos, and it's my second family, really. So
yeah, man,
definitely looking forward to getting back to that when that can happen.
Yeah, I can agree with you guys. I'm a family man as well. I got 5 kids. 3 of them don't live here, but they're in Halifax, so hopefully the borders loosen up a little bit to provinces, and we'll all get back to regular living here soon enough. But do you think this is going to put a strain on tattooing? I mean, obviously we know that the days of walk-ins are definitely in the distant future. Do you think this is going to have a bit of a strain on the way people think about getting tattooed and when? And do you think it's going to hurt you guys at all? Or do you think the people are just going to, I mean, obviously there's people who got money in their pocket ready to get tattooed right now. I'm going to do it myself. Do you think it's going to put any strain on your, on what you guys do?
I think we're going to be operating at a smaller capacity than we were before. Mm-hmm. And it's going to change the social aspect of how we tattoo and the amount of time we get to spend with each customer and what kind of time that is. You know, it's going to be a lot less social and a lot less spontaneous, which are really, in my mind, some of the most important parts of getting tattooed. Yeah. So I think the challenge going forward is going to be how to compensate for that, you know, and still make it as fun as we know it can be, you know, with all the restrictions going forward, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of the magic away from, you know, the spontaneous walk-in and things of that nature. But I think we'll get back to that at some point. What's the tattoos? I've been to Vancouver a few times when I was training, when I was doing my Navy training in Victoria. A beautiful place. How is the tattoo scene in Vancouver itself? Is it a pretty good clientele? Is it like a, and I know out in like Ontario and Nova Scotia, there's a very big, it's a big scene, like getting tattooed, like especially the traditional world. And I mean, that's kind of seems to be your guys' one of your main wheelhouse. How is tattooing in Vancouver? Is it a good go?
Yeah, I think it's excellent. We've got amazing clients that are super clued into traditional tattooing, and they've told their friends, and their friends have told their friends, and yeah. I feel like it's afforded us a really fantastic group of people that are actually pretty regular. We see a lot of people over and over again that are coming back to sort of piece together bodysuits, sleeves slowly. And, you know, I definitely think Vancouver has a very rich history of traditional tattooing that we're doing our best to carry on into the future and making sure that we're aware of who was here before us and paying attention to tattoos in the neighborhood where we are, because on Hastings Street where we are, there have been tattoo shops for a long, long time. Nick could probably fill you in on dates and people a little bit better than I can, but it's fantastic because we're right in the thick of an area that we have neighbors with tattoos that were collected from the shop that we're working out of right now, but back in the 70s. So it's a living museum, really.
That's really cool. I mean, visually, just from, I haven't been out into Vancouver in a long time, but just visually from photos, your shop front alone is quite breathtaking. It's a bit of a spectacle for me. It's really cool.
Thank you.
You can tell there was thought and an awareness put into the way that it was presented. So that's really cool, just from what I've seen. So I'm definitely going to be out there someday. It's just a matter of when. So it's a beautiful area.
Awesome. We look forward to having you out here.
Great spot.
Nick, did you want to fill in any of that about customers and history and stuff in the neighborhood?
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I mean, Vancouver is definitely a tattoo town, you know, there's, you know, lots of people get tattooed, lots of collectors, and lots of people want to get tattooed, and lots of people, you know, travel outside of Vancouver to get tattooed, and there's definitely an energetic, enthusiastic, you know, customer base for people that want to be tattooed. And it's funny, you know, I was talking to Mike from Trophy, and he was talking about being out in Halifax and Vancouver and how you can't throw a dead cat without seeing an old guy with an old tattoo. And it's totally true, and it's something that I take for granted that doesn't exist in other parts of the country, at least. And you know, we are definitely in a neighborhood where, you know, during the summer months on my walk to work, you know, I can photograph, you know, two or three different tattoos from 50 years ago in a morning, you know, just by walking a couple of blocks. So there's definitely that rich history, you know, in the neighborhood that the shop is in. And you know, like Chris said, we're just doing our best to be a part of it, you know, and keep it moving forward, I guess.
Yeah, you come across a lot of those now. When I was in barbering school, I cut a gentleman's hair. He got tattooed by Jerry at Charlie's shop years ago. Cool. And I asked Jerry about it. I was like, "Whose tattoo this?" He thought it was actually one of Charlie's. He thought it was Jerry, and I asked Jerry, and he said it was a Charlie tattoo. It was really cool to see. And
sure.
I mean, you can just kind of see why that style of tattooing is just the best. For me, it's just going to look the best no matter which way you pussyfoot around it and try to explain all the other styles. For me, it's just always going to look great. Why do you think that, like, for me, traditional tattooing never really went away, but there's more of like a, it's just kind of almost blown up now. Do you think that's maybe just because popularity, social media, things like that, or people just actually get it now? Like, this tattoo that my grandfather had looked good for a reason, so it seems to be the way to go to get tattooed. Do you think that's kind of the way that the reasoning people are getting the tattoos, or just doesn't really matter? They're just fucking great tattoos, I guess.
Do you want to take that, Chris?
Sure, I'll take a stab at that one. I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding, as they say, and with social media being such a key part now of people's decision-making process, unlike before, and, you know, to reference the interview you did with Doc Cooper, he was talking about how back in the 90s, the portfolio, the physical portfolio was such a big deal. Having, you know, if you managed to get a semi-successful shot of a fresh tattoo that didn't have too much sweat or blood coming out of it, you know, that went in your portfolio, and that was your point of pride. But now we're able to often see our own tattoos healed after a year, after 5 years, after 10 years, mm-hmm. and get another photo and upload that so people can see side by side the effect of time on a tattoo. And really, it just proves that the traditional approach is the one that affords the best clarity. It's really objective. You know, you can't argue with a photo 10 years apart from the first, you know, fresh photo, and you can see the clarity, and you can see the power that it still has. Whereas if you compare it with, you know, someone else's approach that maybe doesn't have a clear line and a strong black and saturated colors, you see it, you feel it. It's like a visceral reaction to an image. So I think, you know, social media has enabled that more than anything else, and it's able to become more widely known because you can get that out to hundreds of thousands of people. Whereas before, if you had to come to the shop and look at a side by side photo, you limit your audience, your exposure.
Sorry, Chris, not to cut you off. Also, I can't remember where I heard it. Somebody smarter than me said this before, but I also think the catalog of images that represent traditional Western tattooing are sort of a distillation of the Western narrative, and that all of those images have inherent meaning in them. And whether or not, as a tattooer or a customer, we understand those meanings literally, we don't have to. We just know that, you know, intrinsically that, you know, a skull means mortality and a heart means love. And, you know, maybe a scantily clad pinup means lust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these running themes that run through sort of Western society are distilled down into these, like, you know, as I've heard Chris say, power images. And I think at Western customers in North America just inherently understand those for what they are, even if they don't, even if they can't articulate it. And I think that it's taken a while for that to come around. But now I think customers can, you know, can see these images and be like, yeah, I get that. That's part of who I am and my history of my country and my, you know, my traditions. And it's these images that they can really relate to, as opposed to, you know, a portrait of, you know, no outline portrait of some celebrity. You know, it doesn't quite have the same impact, you know, for the vast majority of people, I think.
Oh, no, for sure, man. Those images are just, even if you don't know the story behind them, they're just, they're powerful, and maybe they're, not every tattoo someone gets has to mean some fucking really deep fucking meaning for it. It's just, hey, I want to get a fucking cool panther on my shoulder. Great.
Totally. And then you couple that with what Chris is saying about, you know, longevity and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and what the tattoos look like over time and stuff. It becomes a no-brainer, I think, for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, the tattoo I saw in the older gentleman, it was like a clipper ship or something like that. And it still, the outline was still fantastic. Like, and then it was done, you know, 40 plus years ago. So,
yeah.
So were these the types? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to interject a quick story, if you don't mind, just about that.
Yeah.
The shop that I learned to tattoo at, Tattoo Zoo in Victoria, BC, on Broad Street there, not Broad Street, my mistake. It was running along the Inner Harbor there, so it was underneath a dance school. So there was a lot of, you know, preteen girls and women there, and occasionally like a grandpa would come and pick up his daughter and wander into the tattoo shop and want to talk tattoos. So I got to see some amazing stuff, because, as you know, Esquimalt is a Navy town, Navy area. So there was a lot of old Navy guys there with amazing work, and I got to see and photograph a few Forbes tattoos and Pat Martinek. And, man, like 40, 50-year-old tattoos that were as clear as a bell, like so readable, whereas, you know, if you saw that guy walking down the street with his sleeve rolled up 20 feet away, you'd still be able to tell what it was 40 years later. And I think that is testament to the success of a tattoo. So observing your healed work and trying to keep an eye out for the old guys and old gals with those tattoos, it's education. It teaches you a lot about the way ink behaves in skin.
Well, I feel like guys like yourself, and this is just from never being in your shop, but from the way that you try to adorn all the flash and whatnot, is kind of like I've been into Trophy a few times. It's even if you don't want to know tattoo history, you just want a good, bold tattoo, you kind of almost get it just by being in there, because you guys are kind of doing it the way that it was done. And it's a really cool thing to see, because before I messaged Chris there, you guys were just on my list of people I'd like to speak to, because you kind of are doing it the way that I grew up looking at it through Jerry's shop window, and then old enough to get tattooed in there and checking it out. And it's kind of the same thing. It's you get really excited when you see the storefront and you want to go in and fucking see what's going on in there, and you do, and then you eventually keep going back and going back. And even now, fucking, I'm almost 40 and I still talk to Jerry, and he's still tattooed me over the last couple of years, and it's a pretty cool thing. So I really enjoy what you guys bring to the table. It's awesome. The tattoos
were very much.
Yeah, no problem. The tattoos we're discussing, like the old tattoos, were these the tattoos that were getting you into tattooing, like when you first started seeing them?
Are you asking me?
Either or.
Either or?
You go first.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the only tattoos I was really aware of early on were tattooing, you know, were the traditional style of tattoos. It's all I ever saw, and it's all kind of I was exposed to, and it's all I ever wanted to wear. It's all I ever wanted to get tattooed. So it was everything else to me just seemed sort of like something else, you know, like it was periphery stuff. It wasn't what my vision of tattooing was, even well before I started tattooing. So yeah, I mean, that all that iconic imagery was really had an impact on me, whether I was aware of it or not, I guess.
How about for you, Chris? What tattoos were you seeing that really got you, caught your eye, that made you want to get tattooed? Or
I had this amazing epiphany yesterday listening to Mike Bialik and Nick talk on that IG live feed there.
Yeah.
Because the way that I came into tattooing indirectly was through skateboarding.
Yeah.
And I started skating in 85, and I can't remember what issue it is, but there's this amazing shot of Harley Flanagan, like, growling at the crowd with his chest tattoo that he got when he was 15. And I had no idea, but it was apparently done in Quebec, in Montreal.
Oh,
by the,
cool.
Is it Demers?
Demers, yeah, I didn't know that. That was a total news to me, too.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so being a hardcore kid and being a skater, that was probably the first tattoo I remember seeing and being impacted by. And, you know, truly it had nothing to do with the detail and execution and the imagery. It was just, you know, maybe just the power of, you know, this super aggressive Harley Flanagan skinhead hardcore guy. Mm. And like, wow, it sort of merged tattooing with skateboarding for me. And in the skate world, of course, everything is covered with design. So your board, your shirt, your sticker,
yeah.
You just drew on your grip tape. Like, creativity and imagery and was just part and parcel of it. And I think it kind of infected me with this desire to make images. And down the road, I eventually found tattooing, even though it was a lot later.
Were you two guys really, from what I've seen, mainly dabble in traditional tattooing and quite well at it, I must say? But did you find your apprenticeships, did you kind of go more in a traditional apprenticeship? Was it a difficult process, or did you find it, like, when I My buddy Brian McKenzie, when he told me when he first started with Jerry, he said he was getting smacked in the back of the head, and obviously he had maybe a guy with a lot more, quite a few years under his belt, and maybe saw it a different way. But do you find your apprenticeships were more based in the older ways, or was it leaking more into like a newer way of thinking from the mentors you had?
Mine was, I learned to tattoo from a gentleman by the name of Thomas Lockhart, who'd been tattooing for nearly 40 years by the time I came, I crossed the threshold of his shop.
Okay.
My apprenticeship was real loose, like it was real, there was guidance, but it was, sink or swim, kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So I never got smacked. There was never any expectation. I was never made to clean toilets or do any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it was a masculine environment where you were expected to, do what was expected and to hold your own. So you just did it. You didn't need to be talked down to or humiliated in any kind of way, because it was, you just knew you knew what you were supposed to do. But and it was. It was lots of fun. I had a real good time.
That's awesome, man. There's a couple of different folks I've spoken to, most of the folks I speak to are usually just people I really enjoy their work and kind of how they're, the way that they're upholding the history of it, just because I'm a history guy, and I just love the history of tattooing. I think it's a really cool, and there's a lot more here in Canada than most people even know. So for yourself, Chris, how did you find your apprentice? Just getting into it, was it a difficult process, or you just happened to know somebody?
Yes and no. I had talked to a couple people here in Vancouver that I knew were tattooers. I had a friend that I grew up skating with that had started tattooing about a decade before I learned, and I got lots of no's, which, in retrospect, I'm kind of grateful for. That's just the way things go, and you wind up where you need to be. But I ended up moving out to the island, to Vancouver Island in Victoria, to learn. Mm-hmm. And the person that taught me, Jerry Kramer, was a singer for a few hardcore bands that I used to go see. And they'd purchased a shop many years ago, and together with their wife, ran that shop. And I went and got tattooed by Jerry a bunch of times and picked her brain, and eventually summoned the courage to ask for an apprenticeship. And the guys at the shop agreed to have me in. And so I kind of did a probation for 3 months or so, and then was able to start there. The shop had an amazing library kind of comprised of everybody's book collections. So I hit the jackpot in terms of working with great guys, and two of the guys I worked with were former graffiti writers, and I guess they continue to paint to this day, Brian Turnbull and Colin Wiley.
Yeah.
Colin's up in Parksville there, and Brian is at Goldstream in Victoria, in Langford. Amazing, amazing guys, and I didn't get a lot of hazing. I had to clean toilets and answer phones and fetch food and all that, so in that sense, it was just like what I had kind of expected it, but there was no real physical abuse or anything like that. I was taught to make needles and mix pigment and build machines and all that kind of stuff, which I'm super grateful for, because I think that's probably fading out, but there's still many places doing it the right way, and I was left mostly to my own, I was corrected and when I needed to be, but I got to tattoo everything. It was a street shop, so there was really no focus just on traditional. It was just on learning how to use a tattoo machine.
Yeah.
And I think variety builds your confidence, and then you get to appreciate the way a traditional tattoo is structured.
Oh,
I think without having tried all those other approaches, you don't really see the value and the efficiency and the strength of traditional. So I'm really fortunate that I got to do that, and thank Jerry for that, for sure.
Yeah, I know exactly the area you're talking about, the tattoo zoo. I stumbled around there many times as a when I was a new sailor, so it's a beautiful area.
Cool.
And
Yeah, we got to tattoo lots of Navy guys, lots of guys with, I don't know what you call it, park, anchor your aircraft carriers. The Americans would come up and
yeah.
tear the town up, and we'd tattoo a few of them. It was an amazing time.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. How did Palace come about? Like, you can tell it's just not, it wasn't just slapped together. It seems like every town you go into, there's a shop in every corner. Doesn't mean there necessarily should be a shop in every corner, but your guys, the shop seems very deliberate, like you knew what you were doing, or maybe you just fell ass backwards into something really great. I'm not sure, but it just looks like special. It doesn't look like your regular shop just sitting on the corner trying to cash in on just doing mediocre tattoos. It seems like a very well thought out thing. Do you want to maybe elaborate on that a little more? Or? Whoever has a.
Sure. I can. I definitely, as far as the aesthetic of the shop is concerned, it's definitely deliberate. You know, I think that, Chris and I have both, put in a great deal of effort to make sure that it looks the way it's supposed to look. And then just everything in there has a purpose, you know? Everything in there is geared towards tattooing, whether that's. Just the practical application of a tattoo, or it's a part of history, or it's whatever's in there, and it all is geared towards tattooing. That's the whole purpose of the shop. And so if something's in there, it's gotta fit into that that view. It's definitely by design. That's for sure.
I've heard of your guys' shop for quite a few years now, but when I was over in Tokyo last year, I went to Holy Glory. My wife and I went and got tattooed by Bunta and Yushi. And
awesome.
I brought Bunta a piece of Crooked Ken's flash. I bought a set, and what I did was anytime I traveled, I'd give a piece to whomever tattooed me, and he was very blown away, and he's just a sweet, sweet guy. He gave me an original painting that he did actually at your shop. And he gave it to me because it had a Canadian leaf on it, and where I was military and Canadian, he just felt we felt kind of a bond towards one another. And I had a friend of mine, Daryl Hart, actually tattoo me off of that sheet of like a little gangster bunny that says STP on it, and so he had nothing but wonderful things to say about you guys. And we were supposed to meet up when he came to Canada. It just didn't pan out that way, but just a little.
Yep.
Cool story to.
That's awesome.
I mean, you guys.
Yeah,
are,
Bunta's awesome.
Yeah, just I mean the fact that
Bunta's a great dude.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And.
I wish we had 10 Buntas. He's a one of a kind guy, but man, I got to hang out with him a bit in Mexico, and he was really selfless with his time. He showed me around the shop he was working at, which is the Dr. Lacro's shop, Big Fig Sputnik, and he's so sweet. He's so hardworking. He doesn't make it look hard, and he's really inventive, and he's bold. He has traveled all over and tattooed at some of the best shops, and just does incredibly unique yet traditional work. You know, I'm excited every time I see something he does, just because it's got that real tattoo energy to it, and knowing him, knowing his personality, you can kind of see it come through his work.
Yeah, man, I was pretty stoked to get tattooed by him. I got a little skull with a little checkered hat on. He's got a cigarette and it says "slick." It's pretty nice. It was a cool experience. One thing I did notice about just the way his mentality was towards his mentor, my wife and Yushi were walking just a few feet ahead of us, and he's like, "Yeah, this is my master. I want to be just like him." And he just like he's right there, and he's just talking about how much he respects him, and he hopes to someday tattoo as well as his mentor. And I actually saw that a few months ago earlier when I was down seeing Brian and Jerry, and Jerry was going to tattoo my head. Well, Brian set him up. Jerry didn't have to do anything other than sit in the chair and go to work. Do you think that kind of like that mentality of like someone who's passing something on to you that's really, really special, Do you think a lot of that is kind of going away due to the ability for, you know, people can draw really well. They can buy equipment online and they can maybe do a fairly good tattoo at some point, but a little bit of what was always was being passed on. Do you think some of that is kind of disappearing, or do you think guys like yourselves and Trophy, Rebel Walls, you know, shops, especially like within Canada, those things maybe still may stay afloat over time, or do you think it's going to kind of fizzle out?
Like that. That's an interesting question. I think people that care about, you know, tradition and history and lineage, I think there's always going to be a subsect of people that want to, you know, perpetuate that and keep that alive. I would say, you know, a short answer to that question is I think with the mass appeal of anything, it tends to lose some of its integrity a little bit. You know, whether it's, you know, music or something in pop culture, you know, once the mainstream gets its hands on it and it is, you know, spread en masse, it tends to get watered down a little bit. And I think that those histories and traditions that have been honored for, you know, however many generations, those are probably the first things that start to suffer, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they'll always be there in some capacity, but I think they're suffering a little bit probably just by sheer numbers, you know?
Yeah.
People are getting into tattooing for all different reasons and they can't all, you know, be getting into it for the same reasons. So, you know, it's definitely going to get watered down.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. It's
I think they're all. Sorry,
go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
I was just going to add to that and say, like, I think if a tattooer chooses to take on an apprentice, it should be incumbent on them as best possible that person is of the type of character that would be kind of like Bunta, that would honor and submit to their mentor when necessary, like almost in a militaristic thing where you kind of have to have that discipline and you need to subvert your ego so that you can learn and you turn off the voice in your own head that says you know it all, and you observe and you listen and you practice what your mentor teaches you until you're at a point where you don't need that. I mean, I would like to think we're all apprentices of some sort for our entire careers, but as for that one individual that chooses to teach you, or, you know, the individual and the other people in the shops that you're learning from, I think there will always be people of the character that want to observe and to listen. And the same type of person you might enlist in the military, where there will always be somebody who's okay with the idea of boot camp and, you know, letting something create them into a better person. And that's, you know, letting that experience of being an apprentice form a capable tattooer. There's always going to be people who resist that because they think they know better, but that's youthful hubris. And, you know, they're always going to exist side by side. And just like Nick said, the broader appeal means more people will come to it. And therefore, just by virtue of the numbers, you're going to get more people who aren't in a position where they want to listen to a superior.
Oh, for sure.
And I think just to further expand on that, I think that there are probably two different kinds of tattooers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
One that was drawn to tattooing because of tattoos, and tattooing is fundamental. And then there's another tattooer out there who sees tattooing as a way to earn money or to proliferate their own art, or, you know, they're drawn to tattooing for the commercial aspect of it, or the cool guy aspect of it, or what, you know, whatever it is, but it's not the tattoos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the latter of those two groups are probably less likely to carry on the traditions, because it's not tattooing that they were drawn to. It's what tattooing can provide them that they were drawn to.
Yeah, I've definitely walked
in. If that's not too harsh.
I've been walking into shops for like 30 years and kind of hanging out, and I've been into the cool guy shops, and I didn't spend any money there. I went to the shop that just had a little more integrity, and they appreciated me coming in and wanted to give me a good tattoo, not just take my money And then I've gone back to that shop multiple times, and I drive 4 hours to go see the same gentleman just to get tattooed by him. So tattoos don't always mean the same to everyone, but I prefer to get the good ones and be around good folks. Before I let you fellas go here, I just want to ask you a question. You can either answer it in your own way, but how has tattooing been good to you guys, like as a whole? And
do you want to go first, Chris?
Sure. Tattooing's really made me the person I am, in terms of my confidence and my interactions with people. Having worked in a street shop and having had to deal with all kinds of people, I feel like that, and along with Jerry's guidance along the way, had really helped me learn to deal with difficult situations and to build up my abilities in tattooing, where I could feel confident about pushing back when an idea wasn't going to be a successful one or one that I could accomplish. It's also given me, you know, obviously my income, but it's given me an appreciation for the history and given me a place within it. You know, even though we're just a blip in time here, it's nice to know you can choose to be a good custodian of this art form or whatever you want to call it, and pass it along to the next generation, like we were fortunate enough to do at our shop, with having younger guys working with us that already see the light. It's amazing to see what someone 20 years your junior can accomplish. So it's put me in a position where I feel some responsibility to guide the next generation as best I can, even though I'm nothing special, but I've tried to learn what I can from the people that can come before me, so I can pass it on to the people that will be after. And I've just had a lot of great, amazing times, just meeting fascinating people. We tattoo all kinds of people, young, old, male, female, queer, straight, and everything in between. And man, some of the best conversations I've had have been in the tattoo shop, absolutely, for sure. So most of the epiphanies I've had have been through working at the tattoo shop.
That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. Also, the young guys that you got working there are absolutely killing it. So you got a good.
Thank you. Yeah,
you got a good lineup.
Yeah, we're lucky to have those two guys. There's no question about it.
Yeah, Cole and Cody are hungry, and they're amazingly talented for how long they've been tattooing. I mean, it's just testament to like what Nick said. Some people just pick up a machine and pay attention to what's out there, and they're hardworking and they just get it. You know, they're very intuitive creatives.
That's awesome. I won't keep you.
Over to you, Nick.
Yeah, man. How is it? I mean, how long has Palace been open? Like, how long have you guys been?
We're in our sixth year now.
Do you feel like owning your own shop, being in your own space, that you kind of know you can create and do whatever you want? Do you find that a little more, do you feel like it's kind of come full circle? You started, you kind of went and did it the right way. You learned what you needed to learn, and you guys kind of created something that, I don't know how many people have told me, you gotta go out to Vancouver. You gotta go see these guys. Like my buddies that live out in Victoria, I think they've been out your way. Like, man, you gotta check this place. You gotta check this place out. Like, even my Navy buddies that go into Vancouver, they've sent me pictures of your shop. They're like, dude, have you ever heard of this place? I'm like, oh yeah, I just gotta get my ass out there. But I just want.
I mean, I think when you feel really strongly about something, like the way that we do about tattooing, and you immerse yourself into it, and there's, you sort of explore all the avenues and try to, go down every road that it has to offer you. But at the end of the day, you just have a sense of what you want to, what you then want to put back out to the world, right? And I think that particular shop and having that shop is an outlet for us to do that. It's like, this is what we think of tattooing. This is where we're coming from. you know, we've spent a lot of time thinking about it and forming our opinions about it, and here it all is, you know, come and enjoy it. We've done all the work for you. All you got to do is show up now, you know? And it gives me that sense of, I don't know, fulfillment? Is that the right word? I don't know. Yeah, definitely satisfaction for sure, you know?
No, I like that. That's a good way to, for someone who wants to fly across the country to just, what most people would think is just getting a tattoo. For me, it's a lot more than that. So I'm not going to keep you guys any longer, but so I want to thank you for even participating in this and give me a few moments of your time. It's truly appreciated, and I really enjoy what you guys do, and I'm really looking forward to see what you do in the future, and the young fellas that are working in there. I can't wait to see how they progress, and they're already absolutely incredible already, so it's just going to be a cool thing to watch. So I want to thank both of you, Nick and Chris, and I really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Thank you very much, JC, yeah. And we love your podcast and can't wait to hear from the other people that you chat with. Thank you for having us on.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks a lot, guys, and you guys take her easy and stay safe.
You too.
All right, cheers.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
Well, that was lucky episode number 13 of Rose and Dagger Podcast. I'm going to thank Nick and Chris for sparing some of their time to chat with me. Also, keep a lookout for Cole James and Cody Cox, the two young fellas that are in the shop there busting out amazing tattoos. So go check them out as well. Once again, thanks to those guys for just giving me a little snippet of history into Vancouver and all the wonderful tattoo history that accompanies their shop, and go check these guys out. They're doing things the way it was meant to be doing. Hope everybody is enjoying and staying safe. Cheers.